Welcome to the much anticipated Monaco E-Prix, where the land of draination is, well, for lack of a better term, taking a beating. Welcome back to Motorsport 101. It is not a good week for those people that are named Dre. Ugh. It's been a hard episode. It's gonna be a hard recording, but I'm gonna get through this, okay? I'm gonna get through it. Andre Harrison, welcome to episode 359 of Motorsport 101. It's gonna be on the Monaco E-Prix. We've been waiting for this one. The Monaco Grand Prix. Stuff the electric side. This is the Grand Prix. This is the one that matters, okay? The Motorsport 101 2021 Race of the Year last year is back. And we were excited for it. And, hey, we crescendoed quite nicely on this one.
It was fine. It was probably not a Race of the Year contender, but it was still fine.
Look, we will still happily take very good in the realm of Formula E. That is excellent.
We'll take very good in the realm of Monaco.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, we'll take that. So let's get around the horn and get into the guys. RJ, how's it going, my man?
I appreciate that Formula E for the next generation really took inspiration from the Super FX chip and games like Star Fox and Stunt Race FS and Star Fox 2. I think that's very bold. I'm actually pretty excited for Gen 3.
Yeah.
Low poly count car aside.
All the corners. Oh, hang on. I might have to be gentle with this corner of the room. Our resident Porsche man, Cam, is, shall we say, going through it. Cam, how's it going, man? You good? Come on, Cam. We're going to get through this together, Cam, okay? I know it's going to be a hard half hour or so, but I promise you we're going to be fine, okay?
No, we're not.
What's this we? I'm just here to have a good time.
Well, in terms of an ongoing prediction feud me and a certain co-host have had, this was a punch square in the solar plexus of Team Jaguar, which I've unfortunately had to start rooting for now. And the punch was landed by one Stoffel Vandoorne and the Mercedes camp. Isn't that right, Ryan Eric King?
Hey. Like, they might have won two of the last three races, and they came in second today. But if you look at the results sheet, where's Sam Burt finished in the last two races?
Right now, the only bird that Sam is resembling is the one that Randy Johnson hit with one of his fastballs all those years ago, okay?
Wow.
He's been shot down. Like, you can hear the word pull resonate from London as we speak. Okay, I'm trying not to be too mean about Jaguar. I'm trying, okay? I'm struggling, but I'm trying, okay?
There's no point in trying, Dre. Just let it hurt.
Porsche Corner has given up all hope. But we'll be talking about the Monaco E-Prix in full detail. We'll be talking about Stoffel Vandoorne making it Formula E's fifth different winner in the last six races we've had so far this season. And how he got a bit cheeky with it to win that race as well. In a narrow win in the end over one Mitch Evans. We're talking a bit about Jaguar in detail, actually, on top of that. And we got silly season news. You've been waiting for it. It's our first real big silly season clanger. Well, unless you were listening to that last episode on MotoGP. Thanks, Suzuki. But we got some Formula E silly season news. Amazingly, this was like the third biggest story of the day. We had this, Suzuki, and the Audi and Porsche in F1 news all within about 4 hours of each other. Monday morning was wild. So we're talking all about that and some talk on the Gen 3 cars as well. But all that in the next half hour. So basically you can find us real quick. We're on youtube.com/motorsport101. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/motorsport101. We're on Twitter at motorsport_101. Our personal handles are at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, and at CBuckley917. All of our details and much more, including all our written articles on the weekend as well, are on our website, motorsport101.com. All our Patreon information is on there as well. If you want to back us financially on Patreon, you can. Patreon.com/motorsport101 for that as well. Should we head to the streets, fellas? It's Monaco Grand Prix time, baby. Glitz, glamour, and stoffel season.
Take a shake. The much-anticipated Monaco Grand Prix was back, and it was indeed a return to form for Sal van Doorn. Taking his first win since last year's Rome E-Prix. This makes him Formula E's fifth different winner in six races this year. He got a little cheeky with the rules as well, taking advantage of a loophole in the full course yellow rules to clear some space in a traffic-filled race. So folks, what did you make of Stoffel Vandoorne's performance on the streets? Clearly, the biggest win Mercedes is going to have in open-wheel racing this year. At the going rate.
Yeah, we all thought Mercs were going to win races again. We just didn't think it was going to be with a different form of electric hybrid racing or something along those lines anyway. I'm gutted. I thought Mitch Brough was going to come through for a hat trick and I could stunt on this show and say, hey, Jaguar's coming. I'm going to get one good prediction this weekend. One for the course of the season. Nope. Oh, gutted. They had to save energy halfway through. Stoffel came through, used his attack modes well, and then King, he got cheeky with the full course yellow rules, didn't he? I mean, I did not know about this until you mentioned it when we watched the race, but did that go?
Well, the full course yellow rule is different compared to Formula One's full course yellow, and Formula E's full course yellow is more similar to something that you would see in sports car racing where the cars are speed limited. Not only are they speed limited, they're given a certain leeway to get down to that speed. So if you watch the broadcast, you hear the race director, Scott Elkins, give the command to all drivers that the full course yellow will begin with a countdown, and he counts down to 5 to 0. And then after that point in time, drivers have 5 seconds to get down to that speed.
It's so strange, by the way, that they're calling for full course yellows and all that stuff, like after the field has already passed the point of caution.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird one. A good look.
Yeah, that was a weird one. And again, we saw how it played out because by the time the full course yellow had finished, all of a sudden Stoffel's got a 2.5 second lead and the race is essentially over. And I'm like, how did that happen? We all thought he'd broken some sort of rule, but as King pointed out, it's a loophole. It's perfectly legal. And Stoffel could not be caught after that. Mitch tried to reel him in at the end, but left it too late coming over the line. And it's hard not to ignore one white and black German painted elephant in the room here. Cam?
I'm not,
I think,
here.
your man's had it in the bag, Cam, didn't he?
I guess. And the car broke.
Verline's car just died out of nowhere. His low voltage battery just quit on him. Hey, remember when they were 1-2 in Mexico?
We were leading and we had the strategy and we had the energy and we had the track position and then we didn't.
Yeah, because at an earlier point in the race where a full course yellow had come out early in the race and pretty much it was in a situation where Pascal was able to take his last attack mode activation while everyone else still had one to go. And he had the lead, so he had an attack mode activation in hand that everyone else would have to go offline to activate their attack mode, while he had the opportunity to just drive away. All he had to do was just drive consistently, get to the end, and he would have won the E-Prix. But his car did not want to make it to the end.
And just when you think Audrey Lauder is going to be able to salvage something, he gets nerfed off into Santa Vought and Oliver Rowland, who clearly didn't get Jeff's memo in the F1 games.
He went from heroics to villainy in Santa Vought.
Well, honestly, that, like, the double Porsche retirement is what sealed a victory for Stoffel Vandoorne, because the full course caution that allowed Stoffel to get such an advantage was the one to recover Pascal's car. And then, when that was lifted, he took his last attack mode, and it just happened within a perfect gap that he took the attack mode. Everyone else did not have the opportunity to do so. And then Oliver Rowland endgamed Andre Lotter.
Ollie Rowland is dead to me.
I may or may not have joked on Twitter as the race was going on that as a result of Ollie Rowland causing immeasurable crimes to Draenation, two counts of violations against Draenations, not only preventing Mitch Evans from winning to help my Jaguar prediction, but also taking out a fellow Dre in Dre Lotterer, I've cancelled Yorkshire. Yorkshire has been wiped off the map. I tweeted at my best buddy, Lewis Sutterby. Sorry, Lewis, you're going to have to find Dorner a new commentator. We're going to have to bring Steve Day back over. Yorkshire is gone. We are wiping it off the map. Okay.
I didn't know we were suddenly a cricket podcast.
We're taking over. We're taking over with bat and ball sports. We're going to talk about the World Series next week. But go Dodgers. But no, like, Yorkshire has been wiped off the face of the earth. It's going to be like that Bugs Bunny gif where he just cuts away Florida from the rest of the US. That's me, angrily, as a result of that. Although it is actually quite refreshing that it wasn't Lotterer that caused the incident this time. Which I thought was quite funny. But Rowland, what were you doing, man? Come on! Like, trying to make a pass, got the tail out, whacked Lotterer into the wall, both cars didn't finish. Brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. But, poor Pascal. That should have been his. And, his low-voltage battery wasn't working properly. That's connected to the car's main battery, so when the low-voltage one died, the whole thing shut down. Found out yesterday when Porsche did an interview talking about what exactly had happened at Monaco. So a brutal roll of the dice for Porsche. Double DNF puts them back in the title standings. And yay, Mercedes now have a clear lead at the top. Where have you heard that story before? King, we're coming for your heads, okay?
I'm just here for the chaos.
Speaking of chaos, we've got to talk a bit about Jaguar, because King alluded to this on the show earlier. Like, yeah, it's one thing that Mitch has been around, but it's also the elephant in the room here is that Sam Bird hasn't been particularly good so far this season either. Oh,
what has happened to Sam Bird?
It's polar opposites. Mitch Evans dominated qualifying, took pole position. He was, he was second on the day. He was in contention for the win pretty much all the way through. Didn't Mitch say after the race it was something to do with his aero and not knowing what effect it was going to have on saving battery life?
Even post race, he doesn't know what's happening, that his car wasn't efficient as everyone else's, which, like, my instant reaction was like, yeah, of course you're going to burn more energy than everyone else. You were leading most of the race, breaking the air for everyone else slipstreaming behind you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not the first time I've had energy complaints. Remember Mexico when Porsche extended the race to 40 laps and then it caught Jaguar completely cold? I remember seeing the radio message video they did about that on YouTube afterwards, and Sam Bird was apocalyptically mad about it. I was like, quote, I think the quote was, "They fucked us." Well, it was the phrase he came out with when the final lap started. Combine that with Bird, he spoke at length of the race regarding his struggles, because he wrecked his car, he hit the wall, broke his wishbone, and that was the end of Bird's Monaco race. Said, quote, "I've not qualified well enough, I've not raced smart enough, I haven't done a good enough job. My teammate is up there fighting for the lead of the championship, and I'm not, so there has to be reasons why. I have to delve deep, work on things, find some grit and determination, and deliver a better job. There's no hiding place.
Grit and determination. Dan Burns' worst season so far. He's always been good for at least one win a year or contending for it. He's always been good for competing for championships. One of our community members even like brought up the point of like he's trending towards becoming Formula E's Stirling Moss.
Christ. He has come close a couple of times. That is one thing. But
stop.
I was like, King, is this why you were so adamant that Jaguar were going to be struggling all this time?
Oh, I just knew they would struggle. I didn't particularly know why they would struggle. I just knew that they would struggle.
I mean, look at it glass half full perspective. He's got a couple of top five finishes in the bag already. It's salvageable, but I find it hard to disagree with his assessment that, yeah, he's got to be better at this.
It's not the top fives. It's the DNFs. He's had a couple of really clumsy incidents on track.
Back-to-back DNFs.
You can't wreck at Monaco, man. You can't. And when the championship is this chaotic, the DNFs hit you that much more. And
yeah, just accent of Martara.
Oh, yeah, oh, God.
Brother, who also has back-to-back DNFs. But, hey, he's still got that win in Duryea to lean on. He's still fit in the championship, but he's falling back very, very quickly.
No, I think we should briefly mention why he DNF'd at Monaco.
Oh, let's get into it.
Oh, yeah. I should have really put this in here because I thought the comment was hilarious. But, yeah, sadly, there's no video footage because apparently it wasn't filmed, which is a bummer. But the reason Mortara didn't finish in Monaco was because he suffered a puncture as a direct result of a clash that was started by, and I'm checking my notes here, his teammate Lucas Degrassi?
The smartest man in the sport. The future FIA president.
Oh, God.
Please stop.
Shoot me. You.
I'm on my knees.
Like, Cam has suffered enough, okay? Like, don't do that to him. But what got us was the comment he laid out a couple of hours after the race that ended up on the race, where he described the incident and he described it as, quote, "I was taken out by, quote, the butcher of Formula E."
Yeah, nice comment about your teammate there. Dude.
My God.
Dude, that, oh, jeez.
Can I just say,
that'd be interesting.
He's like, can I just say, I love the fact that he called his own teammate a butcher, while at the same time, at the end of the statement, saying, quote, "it is what it is," in pure racing driver fashion. That's just brilliant. That's wonderful. Like, Edo Mortara, who everyone tells me is the nicest man in the Formula E paddock, calls his own teammate a butcher. I love this series.
He's not wrong, is he?
No. No. In my honest opinion. I mean, it was one of those he was saying what we were all thinking sort of moments. But
bad time for Formula E's old guard, because Wemi's still struggling, Nissan Edams are still struggling. Degrassi, he's getting points, but he's not looking anywhere near his best. And we just talked about how Sandberg's having his worst season.
Yeah, it's not ideal. And yeah, it's so disjointing at Jaguar when you can see that Bird's been below par for most of the year. I think he's only made the duels twice all season, and he was knocked out in the first round both times in qualifying, while at the same time Mitch has found some form. You know, we always knew he was strong at Rome. He won both races there in brilliant fashion, and again he was second here at Monaco. He's found some real form in the last few rounds, and he's in title contention at the moment. You think he's, what, 9 points off the top of the standings right now? So
Mitch Evans is 9 points back of Stoffel Vandoorne.
There you go. Yeah, 9 points. So, you know. Sam, for the sake of my own prediction-based reputation on Formula E here, like, please. Save my shit, okay? Like, we need a reliable second scorer here. I don't want to leave it to Mitch fighting alone against the all might of Stoffel Vandoorne and Nyck de Vries. We've all had it. And Porsche was good too. If they, you know, when their cars are not either being put in the wall or, you know, shutting themselves off.
Rather.
Like, we knew the help we could get here, man. We can't have this. We kind of did it all, but I had to get that in there because Jaguar is just so freaking weird. Like, find some pace, god damn it. Like,
well,
like
so, this wasn't like the worst thing that's ever happened to a Jaguar racing team in Monaco.
No, it hasn't. That's definitely
We're still going to look for the diamond, god damn it. Folks, we got silly season updates from Sam Smith. Stoffel Vandoorne, our newest winner. We know where he is, where he's going to be heading. It's all but confirmed that he is going to the new DS Penske team starting in 2023. He is effectively replacing Antonio Felix da Costa, who is all but confirmed to head to Porsche to go replace Andre Lotterer.
Wait. Is this a new team or Tichita? Because it seems like DS is just getting a second team.
I believe it is a merger of DS, Tichita, and Dragon.
Yeah, because Jean-Eric Vergne is going to be Van Dorn's teammate in this whole thing.
Yeah, and it looks both current so Dragon
and Van Dorn at DS Penske. It's Da Costa and Verilijn at Porsche. Both Dragon Penske drivers are... Well, they're gone pretty much, and you know Giovinazzi
they don't exist.
Who?
Sergio Sette Cameras and talks with multiple teams to stick around. McLaren have offers from a number of drivers that want to sign up for their brand new Formula E team. Folks, I mean Dre, what do you make of Vergne and Van Dorn on the same team?
Vergne Dorn.
That's scary, man. That is that would be a good mid-tier F1 team right now. I know it's not entirely fair to compare everything to F1 because that's just it's a bit lazy. But look, they are two very, very good drivers. Jev is one of the best FE drivers, if not the best FE driver we've had since the series came around. Stoffel Vandoorne is an excellent driver. He's good enough to win titles. You know, he's good enough to win races.
He should
no
still
doubt
be in Formula One, goddammit.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to make FE sound like it's a demotion or anything like that, but it's a damn good team, okay?
Yeah.
That is an excellent team. I feel sorry for Sergio Sette Câmara in particular, because I think he's good enough to be in the Formula E paddock. I hope he lands on his feet, because I know that's come up and it's been mentioned. But it looks like he's talking to other folks, so hopefully he'll land on his feet there too. But I find it weird that DS and Penske are coming together like this. It's a strange collaboration.
Whoa. It's DS and J Penske.
Yeah, that makes it even weirder.
This is the one chance. This is the one opportunity that Dragon Penske Racing has to prove that they are not a poverty team.
That's why I'm so happy. Like, Tichita won championships. Not one. Multiple. Like, multiple. I'm apprehensive. I'll wait until I see an official statement. I know Sam Smith is a reliable source, but this is something that I'm going to need to wait till I see the official press release.
King is losing it. We've all lost it over the course of this recording.
upset about Penske.
This is what Jay Penske does to people. Like if it lasts more than 4 hours, please call the doctor. I can't quite believe it myself. It is strange as all heck that it's come to this. And look, two excellent drivers, two of the best in the series, under the Penske banner? Like, are we sure about this? Like, honestly,
my gut feeling is that if Tichita are selling up, if this is effectively a merger, that I see more of Tichita coming over as part of this new team than I do the current Dragon Penske.
Right.
I'm also curious about what this means for McLaren. because Van Dorn probably would have been a surefire thing, but it's not happening like that. McLaren wants Nyck de Vries, but they got to wait to see if apparently he's going to race for Toyota and WEC next year. Okay. And the question of whether or not he can remain in Formula E in addition to this potential program is as yet unknown from this article. They're talking to Oliver Turvey, who's a former McLaren test driver. They're talking with Sergio Sette Câmara, who's part of the Young Driver Program. Hell, if Felix Rosenquist's year two at McLaren doesn't work out in IndyCar, he might just step into their Formula E team.
Okay, so I feel like we need to somewhat correct ourselves because I just had to just double check that Sam Smith actually said that Van Dorn was going to be teammates with Vern, because at the start of April 4th, he put out the article saying that Dragon was going to partner with DS, and in the article, in the second paragraph / second sentence of the article, he mentions that Dragon will become the third team that DS, a member of Stellantis Group, has previously worked with. Actually, god damn it. Oh, man. I tried to find some way out of this. Yeah, they are.
King is trying really hard.
trying real hard.
King is desperate for a crumb. A morsel. Just a mere morsel of getting away from Jay Penske.
Like, RJ is like the one guy on the show tonight that isn't going through it in some capacity here. Like, this is...
But you're asking for Maserati now.
Right?
Who's going to pull up in a Maserati? Maserati. Maybe a Bugatti. But Bugatti's not in this series.
Can we use a W16 quadruple turbo as an electrical generator?
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Why not? I mean, Cam, what do you make of the situation at Porsche then? Because it looks like, you know, you're getting a new teammate over there with Pascal.
It's going to be great if the cars can finish the race.
I should have known that answer was coming.
No, unironically, Veralyn DaCosta is a phenomenal lineup.
Oh, yeah.
But the car needs to finish the race.
Okay, and yes, Tachita are not going away. They will just be someone else's customer team. But now, of course, they're losing both their drivers. So
they're gutting the whole team. So they get to keep the name and nothing else.
Yep.
Does Suzuki want to buy the team back? I know that's not going to happen.
Oh, that is a messy one. Like, Tachita is going to basically... Like, they get to keep the name, but everything else is being gutted. It's like an office clear out. It's really
It's like
strange.
When BMW left Sauber.
Yeah, it's like, there you go. It's your team now. We're just taking all the good bits out.
So we're going to be getting... I don't know how to do the math on this. What would be the FE equivalent of BMW Sauber Ferrari?
DS Tachita Nissan?
God knows.
Well, they used to be. I mean, those companies used to be together. Wait, shit. No, they weren't.
No, wrong alliance.
Damn. Yeah.
Good luck trying
to figure
it out.
It's kind of all a blur since Carlos Ghosn went and did crimes.
What a freaking legend.
Oh, yeah. that is a lot to dissect regarding all of that. And despite all of that as well, we had the drop of the Gen 3 cars for the first time as well.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I love Wipeout.
I love it, too. I want to turn this into a Wipeout podcast.
Sure.
Because I tell you what, it's looking good for Arcom. It's looking good for America's team. I think they're going to be very competitive once Gen 3 starts up.
I would think about Fizar.
They just need more top end speed because they already have a agile vehicle, but they just have no top end speed. Their engine is gutless, and I love them very much.
Barrel rolls
I don't like the Gen 3 car. Gonna be honest.
Whoa!
Like, it feels like it's not a hot take though.
Okay,
no, it's not.
Okay, King, you're not alone in this corner. I'm gonna sit up for my bottles of Everclear and my tears. I'm gonna come to your corner.
I agree visually, but I think racing wise, they're going to be really good.
Yes, performance wise, without a doubt, the fact that they'll be able to hit like theoretically close to 200 miles an hour. They like there are no straight. I can think there's maybe one straight on the calendar that's just barely long enough to hit that.
You but say that, King, and then we're going to have a crash and we're going to have a Gen 3 car end up in a pizza place in New York.
But yeah, like, generally, performance wise, great. The fact that four wheel regen, great. Like, the fact that they're open wheel again, so you can't be as full contact as you can with Gen 2 cars, great. But the idea of, the aero looks ridiculous and not in a good way. Like, if you look at the front wing end plates, how they're so far canted that they go from edge to edge on the tire, it is, oh my god,
it's a low poly model. This is like the this is like the LHD model.
It's I will concede they're not great visually. They look like if you play Destiny 2, it looks like you're driving one of the pyramids.
All wheel drive, around 95% of power efficiency, makes up about 750 brake horsepower, 350 kilowatts.
Just so you know, so like they give a power number for the front wheel MGU. It's only for regen purposes. You can't actually use it to accelerate, so you can't include it.
Understandable. No rear hydraulic brakes.
Pure regen on the rear axle.
And look at the sustainability. You've got the most advanced sustainable batteries ever made. I'm going through the press release. Linen and recycled carbon fiber will use in the bodywork construction for the first time in a formula car. Natural rubber and recycled fibers will make up 20% of the new Gen 3 tires by Hankook, and all tires will be fully recycled.
I'm worried about the new tires, I have to say.
Hankook, don't screw us.
Round tires. Like so you're using like
wet. Yeah, they're meant to be more equivalent to road tires rather than true race tires.
Oh, good lord. That's
fine. I think the on-track product is going to be better than it is now. I just don't like how they look.
Yeah, that's like it's usually third season of a generation of cars that bring out the Evo kit, which
good might want to move that up.
Yeah, please.
My take, I think it looks fine. I don't hate it. Like I like the look of it. I think it'll grow on me. Statistically, I think it's insane. I mean, a 200 mile an hour top speed on this thing, that's going to be crazy to see. 350 kilowatts of power, it's going to be wheeling around here. All this on glorified road tires. I mean,
oh, we love it.
That's batshit bonkers, and I look forward to seeing that.
Road tires. Keep that in mind. Our friend Hazel Southwell's been putting it out there like, hey, tire waste, that's going to be a problem soon.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that read on Race Fans if you haven't seen it already. Well worth your time. Yeah, Gen 3 cars, very Wipeout. It looks like an AG Systems ship from the Wipeout Omega Collection, but I'm here for that. And could somebody please bring back the Wipeout series while we're at it? Please and thank you.
I mean,
you.
We say that. Why the hell does it have tires?
Okay, so maybe this is more like, this is like Roll Cage, except they're cowards and won't drive upside down.
What cowards? And not driving upside down? Racing is so sanitary nowadays.
I know. Can I just say, I love the fact that RJ used a Roll Cage reference, my favorite racing series, like, ever. Like, RJ, I love you. Like,
look, if our buddies at Time Extend hadn't already cornered the market on a lot of these sci-fi racing games on their podcast, I would just start a futuristic racing game podcast of my own, just to hear myself talk in an echo chamber about how much I love these games. A lot of them are so charming, and a lot of them are so, so stupid.
Yeah, if you can find it on eBay somewhere, Roll Cage Stage 2 on PlayStation 1, go play it. It's one of my favorite games ever. But yeah, that was Formula E in Monaco. We are back, I believe, in 2 weeks' time at Tempelhof in Berlin.
Yes, Berlin.
Tempelhof Knights.
Yes. Yes, I love Berlin. One of my favorite Formula E round on the calendar, all the staple rounds we go to. Love Berlin. It's going to be great. Looking forward to that. Will DaCosta find a way to win six times again? We'll have to wait and see. But that'll be in Berlin in a couple of weeks' time. Meanwhile, we're going to get out of here. Basically, you can find us one more time. YouTube.com/Motorsport101. We're on Facebook.com/Motorsport101. We're on Twitter at Motorsport_101. Personal handles at Harrison101HD, at RJ O'Connell, at Ryan Eric King, and at CBuckley917. Our website, all those details and more, Motorsport101.com. Patreon's on there too. Don't forget, subscribe on where all good podcasts are available. But yeah, next time up, IndyCar, Barber, and beef. Lots and lots of beef. Steak bourguignon coming up. So yeah, that'll be our 360th episode coming up right after this. But until then, I've been Dre Harrison. They've been RJ O'Connell, Ryan Eric King, and Cameron Buckley. Until then, I'm going to get the Everclear. Sayonara.
Sayo, goodbye and ara, y'all.
Bye.
Everclear's mine, Dre. Can't have any.
I need some.